So today I'm going to talk to you about facing the waves. Are you a surfer? No, okay. You know, when people talk to you about their problems, you know, we try to relate to them. We try to empathize, right? Right? And you know what? For most of the time, we will see their problems like this. We see waters, we see problems, but we may see like a swimming pool. But in fact, actually their problems are like this. And there's a reason why I started with these two pictures, because later on I will show you another video clip of how things can be very different in your mind and how things are really are when you're experiencing it. Right? Now, part of life is learning to see signs. Correct? It is how we learn and grow, by looking at signs, right? Fishermen can tell the weather by looking at the sky. They're like, it's going to rain. And suddenly it rains. And at night, they know how to navigate using the stars, right? They are able to tell signs. So what is a sign? Technology, love it, right? Well, signs, if you Wikipedia it or Google it, it says it's an indication, signal, symptom, hint, pointer, suggestion, mark, manifestation, demonstration. It even says token, testimony, evidence, and proof. You know, I also can tell signs. When I drive, I see sign. Okay, those who got it, good job. Right, when you're married, you can tell signs. When you go back home and your wife is quiet, that's a sign. But my wife is so quiet, when she gives me the silent treatment, I also don't know. Right? That's a bad sign. You see, I've got 5 cats at home. And let me... You know, normally people will introduce their family, like my, you know, but I... This is my family, right? So, here's my pointer, it works. So that's Zeus, the big fat one. He follows after me, right? He's currently in the vet for the next 3 days. Pray for him, right? We went and saw him just now, right? And second, we have Odin at the bottom here, right? This is thanks to Alex. Alex donated that to us, right? And then we've got Ra, who's beside him. And we've got the two twins here, Cain and Tain. Right. One thing about living with cats is the more you live with them, you learn stuff. And you know, before I got married, I was a dog person. And then I got married, you know, revelation. Wife told me I'm also a cat person. So to be fair, we have 5 cats and 1 dog. We know who's winning there, right? So when you live with cats, like I said, you learn to learn their behavior and you learn about them. And I want to show you something about cats, something that you want to learn. So let me just... How can you tell? Whoa! I just like the song, to be honest. It's actually a short video clip. So when you live with cats, when they do that, you know that they're going to pounce. That's an indication that they're going to pounce, right? But you know what? The difference with God in that sense is He does both before and after the sign. And that's really amazing. So we're going to look at scripture. So we're going to look at John 16, 14 to 26. And we're going to stop along the way because I want to paint you a picture of the scenario. I want to immerse ourselves into the situation, right? So John 6, and we're starting with verse 14. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, indeed, the prophet... Sorry, this is indeed the prophet who has come into the world. So what's the first thing that I highlighted there is they saw the sign, right? Now, I want you to take back into that first century, right? Now, in those days, right, when people saw the sign, they were a credible witness. Because we didn't have Facebook, we didn't have Instagram, we didn't have YouTube, we didn't have, you know, media to say, hey, this is happening, right? When you saw a sign, when you were a witness, when you first-hand experienced something, you could convey the message. So that was very, very important. So number one is they saw, they experienced it for themselves. In today's world, it might be a bit difficult because we've got a lot of manipulation in terms of what we put up, Photoshop and other technological advancements that we alter and change, CG and things like that, all right? Now next, perceiving that what they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. So what's interesting here for me is Jesus knew and Jesus withdrew. You see, Jesus was not going to do things according to their terms. You know why? He is already king, what? Why does he need to be king again? Right? You see, sometimes in our lives, we want God to come into our lives and fix things in a certain way, how we want to do it. But God says, nah, that's not the way. Right? So, when evening came, his disciples went to the sea. Now, one thing I noticed here is, it was a very specific group of people. His disciples. Now, who were these 12, right? I did some research, and I thought some things were quite interesting. So these are the 12 disciples, and also by their occupation. Some of that, some of them we don't know, right? But what was interesting was, specifically for Peter, research found out that he was about 30 years old, give or take, when Jesus called him. Right? Now, if you look at the 12, there's 5 of them who are fishermen, all right? As you can see, it's highlighted there. And assuming they're all the same age, assuming they would have had about maybe, say, 15 as an age where they started to become fishermen. So they would have had about half of their life being fishermen. Right? And the reason why I'm really pointing towards the fisherman thing is I did more research about what it meant to be a fisherman in their times. Right? So this is what I found out. So I found out that fishermen at those times were gruff, unkempt, vile, shabbily dressed, and often used vulgar language. The fishermen of the first century were a man's man. Oh boy. They were full of vigor and boisterous tempers. Very, very angry people. See, theirs was a rough life since fishing was a very physically demanding job. They must have been somewhat, see the last word there, fearless. Again, I want you to remember that word, fearless, right? They've been somewhat fearless because of the storms that came quickly upon the Sea of Galilee. This is very specific. Right? Reason is, we're going to look at the Sea of Galilee in a few more slides. So they said they're fearless because storms came quickly. Yeah. All of a sudden. And not just all of a sudden. They were fierce and furious. This is better than fast and furious. This is fast and furious on sea. So this is fierce and furious, right? And they often caught fishermen by surprise. Right? And could easily capsize 20 to 30 foot boats they use. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? That's crazy, right? So, they got into a boat and started across the street to Capernaum. Now, why did they go to Capernaum? Anybody knows? Anybody know a guess? Well, you guys are so, not everybody at once. Jesus. The answer is actually Jesus. Jesus asked them to go to Capernaum, right? Now, so this is the Sea of Galilee. Let me bring out my trusty pointer. And basically, they were somewhere here, and they were supposed to go across to here, right? So that's where they were heading to, right? Now, so what's the picture? It was dark, right? And Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. Remember? It came out of nowhere. And they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles. And they saw Jesus on the sea coming near a boat. And they were what? I thought they were fearless. What happened? So it goes. You see, can you imagine this? Now, a lot of us, we are probably thinking, we have a picture in our head, oh, it's the sea going up and down, and Jesus comes walking on the water. But you know what? I actually Googled storms in the Sea of Galilee. And I found this video clip. I thought it was really interesting. Can you imagine you're on this vessel? One thing that nobody realized, right, is the deafening sound. So let's think about it. There's this deafening sound in your face, in your ears. It's dark, so you can't see. And now that was during the day, so you could see the waters, but it's dark and you can't see. And they've been rowing for how long? 3 to 4 miles. You know what? I went to Cyberjaya, Putrajaya, this nice, you know, a lake where you can go and row your boat. And I went out for less than half an hour and like, I can't do this. I'm tired. I got back pain. I rowed back. These guys were in there for 3 to 4 miles with nothing. And they are tired. See, before I expand more, I just want to tell you some of the stories of the waves I face. When I was 12, see, we didn't have this lot of modern-day phones and gadgets then. I'm not that old, actually, but okay. At that age, porn was very hard to come by. But my friends who were my neighbors, all of us about the same age, one of them found his oldest brother's collection. So at that age, not having any understanding or any information about what sex is or any conversation with someone older or wiser, the 5 hours just kept taking this collection and we were just watching it together. And at that age, suddenly I realized my body was going through changes and I didn't understand it. A few weeks later, we had a friend's son come to stay with us over a few months. He was slightly older than me, maybe about 3-4 years. He was going to a school nearby, but because his parents moved to a further location, so my parents said, yeah, you know, we can host your son for a few months until, you know, you guys get sorted out. One fine day, he caught me watching porn. And I thought I was dead because I was the only child. I was like, game over, man. No more life left. I had felt a lot of pressure because being the only child, if I let my parents down, I got no other siblings to say, hey, next, here's the baton, right? There's no one else for me. It was me. If I let my parents down, I don't know what I've done with myself. So here's the thing. He obviously threatened to tell my parents. Unless. He said he wanted to help teach and train me, which led me into giving him certain sexual pleasures. Being 12, and not being able to voice out for help, I thought I was garbage. Really, I didn't know who to ask for help. I didn't know where to go. You see, I was in a very, very dark place. I had no control over it, right? And if you look back at the verse, these were fishermen, and these were the seas that they were accustomed to. But yet, even with all their experience, even with all their know-how, they still couldn't control it. And they were frightened. You see, maybe for some of you, you are in that exact same spot where you can't make sense of what's happening. And you're trying. And it's frustrating. And you're coming to a point, you're burning out, you feel like giving up, and you're not able to see past the waves. See, the thing is, I tried. I really tried. I did whatever it took. I tried to stop porn and masturbating. I don't know why. Until today, I still don't know why. For some reason, I heard somewhere they said, drink onion juice. I don't know how the heck I did it, but I got onions, blended it, and then drank onion juice. I tried cold showers. There's another famous one. I still couldn't. Where was God? Did God still love me? See, this was not the only wave that I faced in my life. There was other things that I went through. After that, I felt that I was never good enough for someone. Because growing up in church, of course, you know, as a person growing up in church, we want to look for someone of the same faith. But to be honest, and believe it or not, no Christian girl wanted to date me. Really, no one. Try, no one. All my girlfriends were non-Christians. Until I met my wife, who was also non-Christian, but, you know, I thank God that she's known Jesus today. After a while, another wave that I went through is, I lost everything in my life. I was almost turning 30. I lost my job. My mom died. My handphone got stolen. Same year. And then on the last point of that year is I found out that I was adopted. That year, I was so angry with God. Again, I was trying. I was looking for jobs. I was trying to make sense of things. But I cannot control the waves. But you know what? What's next? What happens next in the story? He said to them, It is I. Now you look back in the Old Testament, in Moses' time, people dare not say, I am. Because that's how God introduced himself. I am. You know? And people would not say because they were scared that they would get struck down. So the first thing he said is, it is I. What's the second thing he said? Do not be afraid. See, God comes and says, hey, I'm here. Don't be afraid. You see, in most other circumstances, when God shows up, you're going to be afraid. But the first thing he says is, don't be afraid. What's next? Then they were glad to take him. Take him where? Into the boat. And what? Can you hear you guys? And immediately the boat was at the land that they were going to. Let's recap something here. Jesus asked them to go where they needed to go, right? Waves hit, and they then realized that, hey, we're not good enough. Maybe we'll never be to get there. And Jesus comes into the situation. You know what I like about this? Is Jesus didn't go like, hey, I'm here. I can see you. Good job. Just a little bit more. But Jesus, you know what? He wants to come into the boat because he wants to walk into your situation. Because he wants to walk into your life. I don't know whether you noticed, but a few verses ago, when the Bible says it was dark and Jesus had not yet come to them. Friends, Jesus has an intention for all of you. Not some of you, for all of us. Right? They immediately reached to where they needed to be. Now, I know the Bible doesn't say this, but could the storm be needed for God to bring them to where they were supposed to be heading? Is your storm vital for God to work a miracle in you? If you think about it, right? Who experienced this miracle? The disciples. Prior to that, it was the feeding of the 5,000. 5,000 people saw the miracle. In fact, more than that. They only counted 5,000 men. In the wedding, water into wine, there were again a lot of people that saw the miracle, that experienced it, and some of the disciples. But for this specific miracle, it was specific for the disciples. Could there be some of waves in your life is specific for you? I want you to think about that. You see, I have all the rights to be angry with God. Life and all the situation has happened to me. I do, really. I tell people my story, people go like, how can you even smile and joke? But you know what? Some of the things I understand and I agree that it can break some people to beyond repair. However, after all those things that I've been through, the cold showers, the onion juice, and all these different things, I became a different person. Not because of the experience. Yes, that's a part to play. But because I invited God into my boat. I invited God into my life. And together with the waves and with God in it, it's a different scenario. Right? Because of that, I am who I am today. I'm a better communicator. I became more empathetic. And that's why sometimes I feel like I get along with girls better because I understand of showering yourself and still feeling dirty. See, a lot of things I am today, I may not have become if I didn't face the storms and the waves. I don't wish it to anyone, but I know that it was my journey. So, what's so special about me? You remember John 3:16? God sent his only son to die for each and every one of us. Right, let's move on very quickly. So, on the next day, the crowd remained on the other side of the sea. They saw that there had been only one boat there, and Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord has given thanks. Right? So, when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they made themselves go into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. Right? So, when they got there, they found him on the other side and said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate and feel of the loaves. Oh, sorry. Here you go. Here's the question. Is the waves just meant for you to experience Jesus for ourselves? Don't get me wrong. Look, Jesus does want to bless you and hold you close to him, but is that all that is? Is it just for our convenience that our needs are met? Because that's why they were looking for Jesus, right? Oh, did I move too quickly? Not because they saw the signs, but because they were full. Free food. Fish and bread. Maybe some of them couldn't afford it then. They were poor. But they were looking for Jesus just because for their convenience. See, when PC and Cal started this church, I was reminded that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. You know, you might sit there and say, hey, what can I do? I'm facing my wave now. I'm hurting. I'm struggling. But you know what? God wants to work in you. You might say, I'm not ready. I've got nothing to give. I'm no one. I cannot speak. I cannot do anything. I'm just beyond. Number one is, don't face the waves alone. Ask God in. What changed me is not so much the situation, but I just went on my knees and I asked God to come into my life and into my situation. You know what will change your life? God's word and worship. That will be a tremendously big thing that will change your situation. Even if the external situation doesn't change, the internal situation will change. find people that are godly, people that want to be righteous for God, and walk with them as well. And start small. You can't do something big. Smile at the Bangladeshi worker when they give you food. Say hi to the cleaner. Say thank you to the parking attendant. Because being a blessing doesn't mean that you have to do great things for everyone to see. But just sometimes acknowledging that another human exists is for you to be a blessing as well. I should come to the end of what I want to say. And I don't know whether you are facing waves today and you think that you've got no control over it and you think that you're alone and you think that no one cares for you. But you know what? Jesus wants to. Let's just take this time. Just come before God. Shaltaras, shaltaras, shaltaras. You know, if this message spoke to you today, and you are facing something, I just want you to stand up. You want God to really step into your boat. Because you've been trying. You tried everything. You've tried everything people tell you. You've done this. You've went there. You've seen that person. You've bought this. So many things you've done. And you're tired. And I don't know, maybe some of you, this is the first time that you're asking Jesus to walk into your life. If that's you, if this is your first time you're asking God, just put up your hand. We want to stand with you. If not, it's fine. There's so many people standing. I don't know what your waves is, but I know that God loves you so much. I know that God wants to do a miracle in your life. And for some of you, you might immediately get it. But for some of you, like my journey, it was a process. But God was with me all along the way. Hallelujah. Shataras, shataras. Praise you, Lord. Praise you. Lord, we just want to thank you for everyone that is standing, Lord. Lord, we just speak, Lord, miracles into their lives. We just pray, Lord, that you walk into that situation, Lord. Whether it's work, whether it's family, whether it's relationship, whether it's finance, whether it's emotional need. Lord, whatever the need is, Lord, we pray, oh Lord, that you will step into the boat, Lord. That they will feel your love, that they know that they are accepted, Lord, that they know they have a purpose, that they know that there's a reason for them to exist. They know there's more than what they know, Lord. We just pray that they will experience you in a different dimension, Lord. We pray, oh Lord, that you elevate them into that place, Lord, where they can find rest. They can find security, oh Lord. They can find you, oh Lord. Because you are everything that we need, oh Lord. Lord, we thank you for everyone here, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you bless everyone, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.